the unknown.
Mystery.
Space.
Science.
Have fun.
Adventure.
Suspense.
Fantasy.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
Welcome to Journey number 129 of the Journey Into podcast, featuring The Telltale Heart and The Black Cat by Edgar Allan Poe. I am your guide in this journey, Marshall Latham, coming to you from Base Camp in Dallas, Oregon. We're back for some Edgar Allan Poe today. And I've decided to just give in to this, the idea of playing classic Edgar Allan Poe. This year, I'm just going to go for it. I'm not going to worry about trying to introduce you to things you may not have heard before and to avoid the classics like I have in the past. I already kind of threw that out with The Raven, and it's a good thing. It's good to experience Edgar Allan Poe at his best. And so this year we're gonna do that. We're gonna get these classic stories to you. So today we're gonna play two of the tales that he's best known for. There's probably three stories aside from The Raven, his poem that we played a few weeks ago. I'd say the three stories that probably epitomize Edgar Allan Poe, or at least what Edgar Allan Poe is known for, it would be The Telltale Heart, first of all. That's kind of the go-to Poe story that everybody knows. The Black Cat is one of my favorites. And it's in the three. I think most people would probably rank The Cask of Amontillado higher than The Black Cat. They'd probably put The Telltale Heart and The Cask of Amontillado together, at least in this genre of gothic horror or the macabre. Of course, as we've discussed, there's other genres that he goes into, like the detective story and the adventure and the satire and these various things. But what we all know Uncle Edgar for is his gothic horror. And The Telltale Heart and The Cask of Amontillado and The Black Cat are kind of the three that are similar in nature, but not, of course, identical. Each of those three tales are told in first person, from the person who is the murderer, the unreliable narrator. And they all carry the same sense of irony that Poe aficionados, such as myself, really appreciates and enjoys. So who better for me to bring along to help share these tales than classic horror actors Vincent Price and Peter Lorre? And so I've decided to present their takes on these tales to you today. So first up, we're going to hear from Vincent Price as he relates the tale of The Telltale Heart. This is an excerpt from a TV show. I believe it was in 73. I'd have to go check, but I don't have the internet here right in front of me. But it was a special television night. It was called An Evening with Edgar Allan Poe, and it featured Vincent Price on a stage acting out various tales of Poe. I believe in this evening, I believe he does four tales. This one, The Telltale Heart, which we're just about to hear, and I think he does the Raven, he does the Sphinx, and he does the Cask of Amontillado. I'm just going to play you the Telltale Heart. And I think he really captures the mood and the tone for the story. As he does. This is what he's known for. And so, come with me. And let's journey into the house of two men. One who is elderly, and one who is insane.
Okay, our next entry is the Telltale Heart from Allison Taylor.
I can't wait to see this. Be ready with the ribbon.
What is it?
It's the cow's heart.
They're trying to make a monkey out of you.
Allison, is this supposed to be some kind of joke?
I didn't do that. I made a different one.
Oh, is that so, young lady? Well, where is this phantom diorama?
I don't know.
At least have the guts to take the blame, girl. You're only compounding your folly by lying about it.
Right on.
Young lady, cow hearts belong in a butcher's window, not the classroom. Well, maybe in an older student's biology classroom, but that's none of my business. Elementary school is where I wound up, and it's too late to do anything about that.
Very dreadfully nervous. I had been and am, but why will you say that I am mad? The disease had sharpened my senses, not destroyed, not dulled them. Above all was the sense of hearing acute. I heard all things in the heaven and in the earth. I heard many things in hell. How then am I mad? Hearken and observe how healthily, how calmly I can tell you the whole story. It is impossible to say how first the idea entered my brain, but once conceived, it haunted me day and night. Object there was none, passion there was none. I loved the old man. He had never wronged me. He had never given me insult. For his gold, I had no desire. I think it was his eye. Yes, it was this. One of his eyes resembled that of a vulture, a pale blue eye with a film over it. Whenever it fell upon me, my blood ran cold. And so by degrees, very gradually, I made up my mind to take the life of the old man and thus to rid myself of the eye forever. Now, this is the point. You fancy me mad. Madmen know nothing, but you should have seen me. You should have seen how wisely I proceeded, with what caution, with what foresight. I was never kinder to the old man than during the whole week before I killed him. And every night, about midnight, I turned the latch of his door and I opened it. Oh, so gently, and then when I had made an opening sufficient for my head, I put in a dark lantern, all closed so that no light shone out, and then I thrust in my head. Oh, you would have laughed to see how cunningly I thrust it in. I moved it very slowly, very, very slowly, so that I might not disturb the old man's sleep. It took me an hour to placed my whole head within the opening so far that I could see him as he lay upon his bed. Now, would a madman have been so wise as this? And then, when my head was well in the room, I undid the lamp cautiously. Oh, so cautiously I undid it, just so much that a single thin ray fell upon the vulture eye. This I did for 7 long nights, every night at midnight. But I found the eye always closed, and so it was impossible to do the work. For it was not the old man that vexed me, but his evil eye. And every morning when the day broke, I went boldly into the chamber and spoke courageously to him, calling him by name in a hearty tone and inquiring how he had passed the night. So you see, he would have been a very profound old man indeed to suspect that every night, just at 12, I looked in upon him while he slept. Upon the 8th night, I was more than usually cautious in opening the door. A watch's minute hand moves more quickly than did mine. Never before that night had I felt the extent of my own powers. I could scarcely contain my feelings of triumph. I had my head in the room and was about to open the lantern when my thumb slipped on the tin fastening and the old man sprang up in the bed crying out, "Who's there?" I kept quite still and said nothing. For a whole hour, I did not move a muscle. And in the meantime, I did not hear him lie down. He was still sitting up in the bed, listening. Presently, I heard a slight groan, and I knew it was the groan of long, drawn-out, mortal terror. It was not a groan of pain or of grief, oh no. No, it was the low, stifled sound that arises from the bottom of the soul. And overcharged with awe. I knew the sound well. Many a night, just at midnight, when all the world slept, it had welled up from my own bosom, deepening with its dreadful echo the terrors that distracted me. I say I knew it well. I knew what the old man felt, and I pitied him, although I chuckled at heart. I knew that he had been lying awake ever since the first slight noise when he had turned in the bed. His fears had been ever since growing upon him. He had been trying to fancy them causeless, but could not. He had been saying to himself, "It's nothing but the wind in the chimney. It's only a mouse crossing the floor. It is merely a cricket which has made a single chirp." Yes. As he'd been trying to comfort himself with these suppositions, but he had found it all in vain because death, in approaching him, had stalked with his black shadow before him and enveloped the victim. He felt the presence of my head within the room. When I had waited a long time, very patiently, without hearing him lie down, I resolved to open a very, very little crevice in the lantern. So I opened it. Oh, you cannot imagine how stealthily, until at length a single dim ray, like the thread of a spider, shot from out the crevice and full upon the vulture eye. It was open, wide, wide open, and I grew furious as I gazed upon it. I saw it with perfect distinctness, all a dull blue, with a hideous veil over it that chilled the very marrow of my bones. But I could see nothing else of the old man's face or person, for I had directed the rays as if by instinct precisely on the damned spot. Now, have I not told you that what you mistake for madness is but over acuteness of the senses? Now, I say, there came to my ears a low, dull, quick sound, such as a watch makes when enveloped in cotton. I knew that sound well, too. It was the beating of the old man's heart. It increased my fury as the beating of a drum stimulates the soldier to courage. But even yet, I refrained and kept still. I scarcely breathed. Meantime, the hellish tattoo of the heart increased. It grew quicker and quicker and quicker and louder every instant. The old man's terror must have been extreme. It grew louder, I say, louder every moment. Do you mark me well? I have told you that I am nervous, so I am. And now, at the dead hour of the night, amid the dreadful silence of this old house, so strange a noise as this excited me to uncontrollable terror. Yet for some minutes longer, I refrained and stood still. But the beating grew louder and louder. I thought the heart must burst. And now, a new anxiety seized me. The sound would be heard by a neighbor. The old man's hour had come. With a loud yell, I threw the lantern and leapt into the room. It shrieked once, only once. In an instant, I dragged him to the floor and pulled a heavy bed over him. I then smiled gaily to find the deed so far done. For many minutes, the heart beat on with a muffled sound. Still, this did not vex me. It would not be heard through the wall. And then, at last, it ceased. The old man was dead. I removed the bed and examined the corpse. Yes. Yes, he was stone dead. I placed my hand upon the heart and held it there for many minutes. There was no pulsation. He was stone dead. His eye would trouble me no more. Now, if you still think me mad, you will think so no longer when I describe the wise precautions I took for the concealment of the body. First, I dismembered the corpse. I cut off the head and then the arms and the legs. I then took up three planks from the flooring of the chamber and I deposited all beneath the floor. I then replaced the boards so cleverly, so cunningly, that no human eye, not even his, could have detected anything wrong. There was nothing to wash out. No stain of any kind, no blood spot whatsoever. I had been too wary for that. A tub had caught it all. And then, when I had made an end of these labors, it was 4 o'clock, still dark as midnight. As the bell sounded, there came a knocking at the street door. I went down to open it with a light heart, for what had I now to fear? There entered three men who introduced themselves with perfect suavity as officers of the police. A shriek had been heard by a neighbor during the night. Suspicion of foul play had been aroused, and they, the officers, had been dispatched to search the premises. I smiled, for what had I to fear? I bade the gentlemen welcome. The shriek, I said, was my own in a dream. The old man I mentioned was absent in the country. I took my visitors all over the house, and I bade them search and search well. I led them at length to his chamber. I showed them his treasures, secure, undisturbed. In the enthusiasm of my confidence, I brought chairs into the room and desired them here to rest from their fatigues. While I myself, in the wild audacity of my perfect triumph, placed my own seat upon the very spot beneath which reposed the corpse of the victim. The officers were satisfied. My manner had convinced them. I was singularly at ease. They sat, and while I answered cheerily, they chatted familiar things. But ere long, I felt myself getting pale, and I wished them gone. My head ached, and I fancied a ringing in my ears. But still they sat and they chatted. The ringing became more distinct. I talked more freely to get rid of the feeling, but it continued and gained definitiveness until at length I found that the noise was not within my ears. It was a low, dull, quick sound, such a sound as a watch makes. Enveloped in cotton. I gasped for breath.
Yet the officers heard it not. I talked more quickly, more vehemently, but the noise steadily increased. I arose and I argued about trifles, but the noise increased steadily. Why would they not be gone? I paced the floor to and fro with heavy strides, as if excited to fury by the observation of the men, but the noise steadily increased. Oh God, what could I do? I foamed, I raved, I swore. I swung the chair upon which I had been sitting, grated it upon the boards, but the noise rose above all. It grew louder, louder, and still the men chatted pleasantly and smiled. Was it possible that they heard not? Oh, almighty God, no, no, they heard. They suspected. They knew. They were making a mockery of my horror. I could bear those hypocritical smiles no longer. I felt that I must scream or die. Now again, hark, louder, 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 louder. Villains! Dissemble no more. I admit the deed. Tear up the planks. Here, it is the beating of his hideous heart.
So there you go. There's the Telltale Heart. It's a classic for a reason, folks. It's masterfully written. It builds upon itself. It captures the voice of the narrator. It captures who this person is. I love how it, the whole time he's trying to prove to the reader that he's not mad, that he's not insane. And here's the reason why. It wasn't because I hated the old man. It's because of his evil eye. And, I'm not mad because look how I planned this out. I chopped up his body and I put it in the floor. That proves that I have a sound mind and I'm thinking and I'm planning and I'm doing these things. And all the while, he's proving to us that he is mad, that he is insane and murderous. You know, I mean, the difference between, murder in the first degree and murder in the second degree is, you know, premeditation. It's the intent to kill and the planning to kill. And, you know, he went there for 8 nights opening the door so that the old man would get used to the noise so that he could kill the old man. But then he couldn't kill him because he couldn't see his eye. And finally, when he saw this evil eye, it was glossed over or blind, that is when he was able to kill the old man. And I just love the way he puts that together, and he just captures that unreliable narrator, that the insaneness, similar to the way that I like last year when if you go back and listen to The Imp of the Perverse, where it's the same kind of thing, but the part where we really capture the voice of the narrator is at the very end, and most of the story is actually like an essay on phrenology and those types of things. So it's more, this is better. Telltale Heart is good from the get-go. From the first sentence, you're pulled into the story, and you can really capture the insanity and the voice. I keep saying that, sorry. But the voice of the narrator, of Poe. It truly is one of the best short stories ever written. And that's why it's a classic. That's why Poe has the reputation that he does. So let's move on to our next installment. This is from a radio show that featured Peter Lorre reading gothic horror kind of stories, or any kind of off stories, the ones that you typically find in these types of radio shows, where you have like the Horla and you have the Monkey's Paw and the various Poe stories and different things that you find on a lot of these radio channels. But this is Peter Lorre reading it to us. And so it's got his voice, and he's very meticulous. And I think this comes off really well. I think it's one of the best readings of The Black Cat that I've ever heard. Again, The Black Cat is written in first person. It's written from the killer's point of view. Spoiler alert. But it's kind of a different reason. I would say that the motives of this narrator in this story are different. It's not necessarily insanity, however, there is some insanity there, of course. You know what? I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's play the story for you, and then I can talk about it afterwards. Hey, that's a good idea. Maybe I should do that on my show. So come with me, and let's journey into a small, modest house.
Soft kitty, warm kitty, little ball of fur. I've got all night, Sheldon. Soft kitty, warm kitty, little
soft ball kitty, of fur. Warm kitty, little
happy ball kitty, of fur. Sleepy kitty,
happy purr, kitty, purr, sleepy purr, kitty, purr, purr, purr.
The cat also didn't like me. That was fine with me, at first, because I didn't like it either. The feeling was mutual. I didn't want it to come around and bug me for food, or get comfortable enough in my study to piss on the floor in there, or whatever other awful thing it might have planned. But after time, it started to get on my nerves. The way it slunk away from me with an accusing glare on its face every time I came near, as if I kicked it whenever I got close enough. It upset me. I figured that if I was going to get treated like I kicked it, I should at least get the joy of kicking the damned thing. And I don't call it a damned thing just because I like to swear, even though I do. The cat is in fact a damned thing. It is a hellcat. I don't mean that it is just bad-tempered and spiteful. I mean the cat is from hell. It is devil's spawn. It is evil.
Smelly cat, what are they feeding you? Smelly cat, it's not your fault.
Oh, you naughty pussy. Naughty, naughty pussy. And now to invent the catapult.
Mystery in the Air, starring Peter Lorre, presented by Camel Cigarettes. Of this court that you be hanged by the neck until you are dead, and may God have mercy on your soul.
No, I neither expect nor solicit belief for this wild story. I would be mad to expect it, yet mad I'm not, and very surely I do not dream, but while there is still time, I don't know why I feel compelled to report a series of mere household events and their consequences. These events have terrified, have tortured, have destroyed me. Perhaps some are more calm, more logical, but certainly far less excitable than I will be able to explain them. I cannot. I can only tell you the facts, and that I have to do today because tomorrow I die.
Thank you.
Each week at this time, Camel Cigarettes bring you Peter Lorre in the excitement of the great stories of the strange and unusual, of dark and compelling masterpieces culled from the four corners of world literature. Tonight, Edgar Allan Poe's immortal American classic, The Black Cat.
Mystery in the Air, starring Peter Lorre. Brought to you by Camel Cigarettes. Experience is the best teacher. Try a Camel. Let your own experience tell you why more people are smoking Camels than ever before. Give your T-Zone the experience of enjoying a Camel. And see if you don't join the millions of other smokers who say, Camels suit my T-Zone to a T. Your T-Zone, that's T for taste and T for throat, is your true proving ground for any cigarette. See if Camel's rich, full flavor isn't a delightful experience for your taste. If Camel's cool mildness isn't more than welcome to your throat, try a Camel.
No, believe me, there was nothing, absolutely nothing in my childhood which forecast the terrible events that were to come. No, as a child, I was very gentle. I got along well with everyone, but at most I liked animals, yes. All kinds of animals. And then I married quite young, and I was very happy to find that my wife shared my feelings. Very soon, we had quite a collection. Oh, we had birds and goldfish. We had a dog and some rabbits, and we had a cat. I'll never forget the day my wife brought it home. Hello, hello. You're home so early.
Look, Charles, look. Look what I brought.
Oh, look at it. Oh, the little kitty. Where did you get it, darling?
Oh, the poor little thing. Some dogs were chasing it, and I just rescued it in time.
Yes,
it was so frightened.
Yes, but it isn't frightened anymore.
Oh, it seems to love you, Charles. Then that's not strange. All animals do.
Yes, yes, yes. Nobody's going to hurt you, kitty, kitty. No. How about some milk, huh? Yes. There, you see? Oh, you must have been very hungry.
Yes.
Hey, what's your name, huh?
I don't suppose he has a name. He's so young. I don't think he belongs to anybody.
Well, then we have to give him a name.
You mean we can keep him?
Keep him? What are you talking about? He has no home. We can't turn him out in the streets, can we?
Oh, Charles, I was hoping you'd let him stay.
Of course, but he must have a name. Yes, let's see. Oh, yes, black, yes, all black, beautiful. Not a single white mark. Oh, I have it. He's as black as the devil. Let's call him Pluto. Yes, we'll call you Pluto. Well, Pluto grew up to be a remarkably beautiful cat, and of all the animals in our house, he became my favorite and my playmate, yes, and until it all changed, yes, and as the years went on, my character suffered a radical change, and everything changed. Huh? Why? Well, I'm ashamed. I hate to admit it. Through intemperance, yes, through intemperance. And then as drink became more and more necessary to me, I became more and more moody and irritable.
Charles, where are you going?
I don't have to tell you where I'm going.
Oh, Charles, what's happening?
What do you mean, what's happening to me?
Well, you never used to go out every night to those vile
places.
Please
stop nagging. Stop it! I go out because I can't stand listening to you. Nag, nag, nag all day long.
I don't know what's come over you.
There. See? Why don't you learn from Pluto? It's only a cat. He doesn't ask me where I'm going. Yeah, that's right. You never do, no. Come here, Pluto. Yes, I like it. Come here.
Be careful, Charles. Don't pick him up like that. Don't. You're hurting him.
Him. I never hurt him. Ouch!
He bit me. You never mind. I'll show you.
Don't
you?
Charles, don't.
I'll show you. Beast.
Yes, I hate to admit it, but I was so furious I kicked Pluto, and I kicked him again and hard, and... Well, and the next morning I saw that his ear was torn, and I was filled with remorse for what I'd done. From then on, Pluto ran away in terror whenever I approached, and that in turn made me more and more irritated, and in the end it was sheer perverseness, nothing else, yes. Sheer and unexplainable perverseness that made me do what I did. Yeah, I blush to admit it, but one morning I strangled the poor animal. Yeah, I killed it only because I knew that it had loved me and because it had given me no reason for offense. No, I'm offering no excuse. I'm only recounting what happened. Well, in the evening, I went to the inn as usual, and I came home very late, and I fell fast asleep with my clothes on. Then I was awakened suddenly. Hey,
what's
the matter here?
Charles, wake up! Charles!
What's the matter?
There must be a fire.
Yes,
I smell smoke.
Good heavens, it's our house.
Oh.
Our house is burning. Come on, darling, come. We'll be trapped. Come on, hurry up. Quick. The stairs are on fire. Everything.
I can't.
Don't talk, sweetheart. Perhaps I can get you through the flames. Don't breathe, darling. Here's the front door. Yeah. We made it. We're safe.
Oh, Charles. Look, our house.
Hey, anybody else in there?
No. Nobody else.
It's just as well. Never could get them out now. Are you the owner?
Yes. That was our house.
Well, you haven't got much left then. We can't save it now.
Stand back! Stand back! Everybody, the roof's going to fall in! Stand back!
There it goes! Well, it's down now.
Funny, nothing is left but that one wall in the middle.
Look at it.
What about it?
Well, look at it on the wall.
Hey, that is strange.
What are you talking about? What's strange?
Oh, there on the wall. It's still standing.
Wow. Marks on the plaster.
Marks? Huh? What marks?
Well, what's the matter? You blind? Right up there on the wall, that black figure.
It looks like a cat.
Yeah, it does. The smoke must have done it, but it certainly does look like a cat.
What looks like a cat?
There, and it's got one floppy ear.
Who's got a floppy ear?
Funny. That's really funny.
Funny, huh? It's not funny. It is not funny at all, you hear? I know what it is. You know who it is? Yes, it's Pluto. I recognize him. Yes, there, see? His ear is torn, huh? Oh, you beast. That hideous beast. It's come back to haunt me. Leave me alone. You hear? I can't stand it. I can't.
Get some water, somebody. This man's fainted.
Mr. Peter Lorre will bring us the climax of tonight's Mystery in the Air when Camels present Act Two of The Black Cat. Ask a champion the secret of his success, and no doubt you'll get the same answer every time. Experience is the best teacher. Take Rose Gould, for instance, featured aerialist of Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus.
Miss Gould says it took experience to teach her that famous 75-foot dive into space. Mildred O'Donnell, diving champion, thanks experience for her crown. Yes, they all learn from experience, just as smokers everywhere learn from experience about cigarettes. Back in the days of the wartime cigarette shortage, millions of smokers tried brand after brand, smoked whatever they could get. And that experience made people experts in judging the differences in cigarette quality. That was when so many people discovered that Camels suit their T-zones to a T. That Camels give them the rich, full flavor and the cool mildness they've always wanted. As a result,
more people are smoking Camels than ever before.
Experience is the best teacher. Try a Camel yourself.
The black cat is dead, killed by its master. The house is burned to the ground, with everything in it completely destroyed. Now the scene is the almost deserted, candle-lit taproom of a local inn.
Don't you think you'd better go on home, sir? It's getting late.
Home, huh? You should see the terrible place where... we were living now.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard you. Lost everything in that fire.
Lost everything, yes. I lost everything. I lost my house. I lost everything.
Well, how about that black cat of yours you used to talk about all the time?
Huh?
What was his name?
What was his name? Pluto.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Pluto's gone, too. Oh, I tell you, I miss him. I miss him very much.
And if you miss him that much, why don't you get another cat?
Give me a drink.
It's getting pretty late, sir. I mean, well, won't your wife be expecting you?
Give me a drink.
Yes, sir. I'll have to fetch another bottle.
Why don't I get another cat, huh? That's what you said. Well, why don't I? No reason I shouldn't. There's no reason to be in the deeps of despair just because of a cat. If I get another cat, maybe I'll be able to forget her. What's that? Oh, there's a cat now. Yes, sitting on top of the table. Black cat, huh? That's strange. I've been staring at that table for 5 minutes. And I could swear there was no cat on it. Anyway, where did you come from, huh? Oh, you're a beautiful cat, yes. You're just as black as Pluto. Yeah, except you got a splotch of white on your chest. Yeah. That's right, yeah. Oh, yes, come sit on my lap, huh? Oh, yeah. Kitty, yes, you're a nice kitty. You're a nice cat.
Yeah.
I like...
Here you are, sir.
Where did this cat come from?
Cat? Oh, yeah. A big one, isn't he? I don't know where it came from, or how it got in, either, for that matter. Never seen it around here before.
Don't know who it belongs to?
Nope. As far as I'm concerned, it belongs to you, if you want it. Can't keep it here. My wife doesn't like cats. Especially black ones.
Like cats, huh? How stupid. Yeah. See, I want it. Yes, sir. I want it very much. I'll take it home with me right now.
This is such a wonderful cat. Just since last week, it's made itself so much at home. Well, you think it had lived here always.
Yes, I've noticed that.
It reminds me so much of Pluto.
Yes, but this one has a patch of white on its chest. Don't forget that.
Yes, that's right, dear. But I can't help wondering. I wonder whatever became of Pluto. He disappeared the day of the fire.
I know he disappeared. And well, maybe he... he knew the house was going to burn down.
Oh, see how it loves you. It's rubbing against your leg, just the way Pluto used to.
Pluto, Pluto! Stop talking about Pluto!
Darling, I didn't mean anything. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, dear. I always talk about how much this new cat resembles Pluto. It just makes me even nervous. Look, actually, there's hardly any resemblance at all, really. Except that they're both black. This one has a white patch on its chest and...
Oh, the poor thing. Charles, look, his ear is torn.
Huh?
See?
What?
Here, under the fur. Oh, I never noticed that before.
Neither did I.
Why, it's just the way Pluto's... I mean...
Go ahead, say it. It's torn, yes. Just the way Pluto's ear was torn when I kicked him, huh? That's it, isn't it?
Well, he must have been in a fight or something. But it's curious we didn't notice
curious,
it.
Curious, huh? You have no idea how curious it is. No idea. Get that cat out of my sight.
Charles, you're mad.
Get it out.
How can
of
you
my
act
sight.
That way about a poor dumb animal?
Take it
especially
out of
one
here.
That loved you so much. Oh, now you've
Take
frightened it, dear.
Away from me, you hear me?
The way you talk, anybody think you don't even like the poor
like
cat.
It, huh? Like it? I hate it. I tell you, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Yes, in a short time the cat had been with us. I had come to look upon it with unutterable loathing. Why, I don't know yet. The more I hated it, the more affectionate it acted toward me. Wherever I went, it followed. Whenever I sat down, it would spring upon my knees and cover me with its loathsome caresses. As if this were not enough, the white patch on its chest, which originally it had been very indefinite in shape, but gradually it assumed a very definite outline, yes, the unmistakable and ghastly shape of the gallows, a terrible engine of horror, of agony, and of death. I longed to destroy the beast, but I was prevented by an absolute unreasonable dread. I was sure I was losing my mind.
Charles, are you going out again?
Yes, I'm going out. I don't know when I'll be back.
Oh. Before you go, do you suppose you...
Why, what is it?
Will you help me bring up some wood from the cellar?
Why do you always want more wood?
The house is cold. You know I haven't been feeling well. I'm not strong enough to carry
not
it myself.
Strong enough. All right, come on, I'll help you. You might have thought of this before.
Look out!
What? Oh, that's cat. That's that beast again. It's always under my feet. It tried to trip me on the stairs.
I'm sure it didn't.
I'll get rid of that beast once and for all. I'll be...
Charles! Put down that crowbar.
Get out of my way.
No, stop.
I say get out of my way. Let go of my arm.
Please, Charles, you're
going
to...
Let go of my arm. Are you going to let go?
Oh, please!
I said let go! Why didn't you let me go? Yes, she had fallen dead without a groan. My blind rage, my rage against the cat, I'd struck my wife and killed her. Well, nothing I can do about it now. All I could do was to set myself to the task of concealing the body. Yes, I thought and I deliberated, and then it occurred to me that, yes, in the Middle Ages, they used to wall up their victims, and I determined to do the same thing. Yes, behind the wall in a cellar. I managed to dislodge a section of bricks near the chimney, and in a hole behind them, I propped the body. Then I carefully laid the bricks back in their original position, and when I had finished, no one could have told that the wall had been disturbed at all. Well, I could say to myself triumphantly, here at least, My labor has not been in vain. My next step, then, was to look for the beast that had been a cause of so much misery, but then I became aware that it had completely disappeared. Huh? 3 days passed, and still my tormentor did not appear. Oh, it's impossible to describe or to imagine the deep sense of my relief. For the first time in months, I slept, yes. I slept. Even with a burden of murder on my soul. Yes, some few inquiries were made about my wife's whereabouts, and the search of the house was conducted, but nothing was discovered. Oh, I finally could look upon my future secure. Yes?
Good day, sir. Sorry to disturb you again, sir.
Oh, it's you, Sergeant. Is there anything I can do for you?
Well, they're still puzzled about your wife's disappearance.
Puzzled, huh? Well, so am I. Well,
some of her friends have been around to the police station.
What's that got to do with me, huh? You've already searched the house twice. What do you want?
Well, I know, sir, but... Well, the captain sent me and the constable here to look around just once more, to be sure there's no clues been overlooked. Mm-hmm. This will be the last time, sir. Only a matter of routine. We won't bother you again.
All right. Come in.
Thank you, sir. Come on, Joe.
Right.
Where would you like to look first?
Well, we might as well begin with the cellar.
Cellar, huh? All right, yes. Right down these steps. I'll come with you.
Yes, I always say searching a house is like getting ahead in the world. You start at the bottom.
Yes, I see. It's very funny.
Well, come on, Constable. Get to work.
Right.
While they searched, I folded my arms and watched. As before, they discovered nothing, nothing. But as they were about to depart, the glee in my heart was too strong to be restrained. I burned to say but one word, yes, just one word, by way of triumph. And as they started up the steps, I said, see, have you noticed, this is a very well-constructed house, you know. Hey, gentlemen, you're not going, are you? Yes, it's an excellently well-constructed house. You've never seen such a well-constructed house in a frenzy of my bravado upon that very portion of the brickwork behind which stood the corpse of my wife. I rapped with my cane. Let me heaven deliver me from the arch fiend. What was that?
What was that?
Wind, probably.
Wind? That's not the wind. It came when you hit this wall here.
Whatever it is, it's behind these bricks, Sarge.
Here, take this crowbar and knock that wall down.
Right.
Wait a minute, you...
Keep quiet, you...
can't do this.
Wait a minute. Where are you going?
Upstairs.
You stay right here.
Hey, this is new plaster. It hasn't even had time to set yet.
Ah, pull it down.
Right. Here she comes. Look out.
Oh. There's what we're looking for, all right. His wife's body.
What's that horrible-looking thing sitting on her head?
It's the cat!
How did that cat get in there?
I know how it got in there. Yes, I know. I must have walled it up in a tomb. And I never knew it, no. Look at that red mouth. Those burning eyes. You hideous. You beast. You monster. You are the devil. You made me a murderer. Now
for 3 days you've been in there, waiting, waiting to send me to the gallows. Well, the hangman will get me. Yes, I hope you're satisfied. I hope you're satisfied.
The makers of Camel cigarettes send free Camels to servicemen's hospitals from coast to coast. This week, the Camels go to Veterans Hospital, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, U.S. Army McCornack General Hospital, Pasadena, California, U.S. Naval Hospital, Houston, Texas, U.S. Marine Hospital, Baltimore, Maryland, and Veterans Hospital, Dayton, Ohio.
When three leading independent research organizations asked 113,597 doctors living in every state of the Union, "What cigarette do you smoke, doctor?" The brand named most was Camel.
According to a nationwide survey, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette.
Next week, Mystery in the Air, starring Mr. Peter Lorre, brings you an adaptation of one of our star's greatest motion pictures, Crime and Punishment, based on the book by Fyodor Dostoevsky, with a special musical score composed and conducted by Paul Barron.
Mr. Pipe Smoker, here's proof for you. Proof that Prince Albert is a satisfying smoke. More pipes smoke Prince Albert than any other tobacco, naturally. Prince Albert is a mellow, mild tobacco with a rich, full flavor. Choice tobacco specially made for smoking pleasure. Specially treated to ensure against tongue bite. Crimp cut to burn slow, smoke cool. See if one pipe full of PA doesn't convince you that Prince Albert is your favorite, too. Beginning 2 weeks from tonight, Thursday, October 2nd, Camel's comedy quiz, The Bob Hawke Show, will be heard at this time over these same NBC stations.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Black Cat. It's all the cat's fault. Just ask Big Anklevich. That's another good story, and I guess getting back to what I was talking about in regards to the motive of this killer, it is different than the Telltale Heart. It's not just pure insanity. It's not just this evil eye. It's basically his aggression. It's almost an accident that he kills his wife, but he's obsessed with this cat, and he puts all of his anger and all of his frustrations and all of his bottled up feelings and puts it towards this cat, that this cat is the source of all of his problems. And, you know, he feels guilty for harming the cat the first time, and it's because of his it's because of his drinking, because of his addiction to alcohol, and it causes him to be an angry drunk. And it just really captures, again, Poe really captures that person really well. So you understand where it's coming from, even if we don't agree, or we don't think murder is right or harming animals is correct. Right, Big Anklevich? And even though we don't like what happens with this guy, we can understand where he's coming from. And it's coming from his first person voice. And so we get to see the inside of his mind as he's going through these things. And again, it's another classic story. It's the reason Edgar Allan Poe is so well known, at least after his death. So yeah, another great story. And I've always enjoyed this more so than I think of A Cask of Amontillado, which I'm going to bring to you in our next installment of Edgar Allan Poe Month, playing the Edgar Allan Poe triple threat, the trifecta of Poe. It wouldn't be complete without The Cask of Amontillado, so I will play that next time. But I really liked this recording of The Black Cat as well.
I think Peter Lorre was the best voice for this.
It just really captures what I like about this type of gothic horror, or just horror stories in general. You know, he's got that voice similar to Vincent Price, but different. So we have two classic actors reading two classic Poe stories. What else could you ask for? What could be better than what's going on with this podcast right now? He says humbly. Now, this is why I wanted to do the podcast. These are the kinds of things I want to bring to you, and I hope you're enjoying this as much as I am. I guess another thing about the Black Cat, I did attempt to start to write a short story last year. I was going to take my own challenge to take a Poe story title and to write my own. And I think I've talked about this on the podcast before. I know how I want the story to go. I just got stopped in progressing into the story. So there it sits on my blog and on my word processor, still not completed. I think I am going to take another attempt at finishing up that story, maybe changing it a little bit, maybe sharing it through two different points of view rather than just the one. It might be more effective that way. So I'm going to try that again. So in the next year, I'll attempt to finish my Black Cat Poe story. Maybe even feature it here on the podcast. What do you think? I'll give it a shot. Let's see. Can't think of much else to share with you this time. We will be back here in a little bit with a couple more. I'm going to do another double feature of Poe. We're going to play The Cask of Amontillado, as I said. And we'll also hear about the murders in the Rue Morgue. So I'll leave you with that. And I'll be back soon with more Edgar Allan Poe. And until that time, stay safe out there. And journey on.
Hey, folks. This is Rish Outfield of the former Doonstief Audio Fiction Magazine. You know, when I lost my partner, Big Anklevich, to a Randy Yeti on a bicycling tour of the Himalayas, I thought my love for podcasting had died at Spread Eagle and Screaming too. But then I discovered that the Journey Into podcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. And it really opened my eyes. You see, that license means that you can share the files with anyone, in any way you see fit, just as long as you don't change them or attempt to sell them. What's more, the awesome theme music for Journey Into was provided by Man in Space. There, I feel better already.